Okay, I want to turn now to looking at some developmental outcomes when children were just about to start school, just before they started school. And here we're going to look at three, as I've already talked about, distinctive features of child care. One is the quality of the care. As I said, we went in and observed children's care when they were 6, 15, 24, 36, and 54 months. We watched 4 hours of the care they experienced on 2 separate days, 8 hours. And then we averaged all those experiences together to reflect to what extent did that child, during the time we were there, be it within the daycare center or with a nanny or within a child minder, to what extent was that child's care attentive, responsive, sensitive, and stimulating? Now, we measured those things separately, but they were related, so we composited them. We also, because we phoned mothers every 3 to 4 months and asked them about their child's care, the child's time and experiences in care over that period, we also had a measure of how much time, and this is what we've used already that I made reference to, how many hours per week were they in care, and we averaged that across their first 4.5 years of life. And then we also, for purposes of this presentation, took what percentages of 17 different measurement epochs, 0 to 3 months, 3 to 6 months, 6 to 9 months, and so on and so forth, across the first 4.5 years of life, what percentage of those measurement epochs was the child in a group center, in a daycare center, as opposed to some other type of care? And that's going to be our measure of type of care today. We measured a variety of aspects of children's functioning, cognitive, language, and social. The cognitive language were standardized assessments at 54 months of academic achievement. They're basically literary skills and preliminary math problems, their short-term memory for sentences, and their linguistic competence, both their capacity to express language and to comprehend language. These were done in the laboratory under standard conditions to increase measurement reliability and precision. We also got measures of externalizing behavior from the caregiver. Most kids by 4.5 years of age were in some kind of child care arrangement, if only a nursery or a preschool. And that was a rating, a checklist of sort of behaviors having to do with aggression and disobedience. We also asked the caregiver about the degree to which they had conflict or a close relationship with the child. And we also observed the child interacting with another child in the care setting who the child identified as a friend, so that we could get measures of positive and negative peer interaction. I've already said we discounted a lot of confounding factors, and these included the race of the child, the gender of the child, the mother's education, the household structure over the first 4.5 years of life, what percentage of time was there a husband partner in the household. We didn't distinguish marriage from cohabitation. What was the family's income over that time? How many depressive symptoms did mother have? And also, what was the parenting quality? Now, importantly, household structure, family income, maternal depressive symptoms, and parenting quality were measured repeatedly at 6, 15, 24, 36, and 54 months. So we're controlling for that whole early experience period, the whole first 4.5 years of life, before we begin to look at child care effects. Okay, I'm going to present, this is effects of child care and cognitive language development. We're going to have 3 outcomes, so we'll see 3 bars, and those bars will be arrayed in terms of the effects of quality on each of those outcomes, the effects of quantity, how much time you spent in care on each of those outcomes, and the effect of type of care on each of those outcomes. So there'll be a total of 9 bars across here, and they reflect, and what we have here is the effect size. Now, the effect sizes are all going to be small. I've topped it off at 0.20, and we don't have any effects that big, and that's going to be an important fact to come back to. But there's an interesting pattern that emerges. The first is that quality of care, as long thought and long found, and there's nothing new in this study, is predictive of children's cognitive language development. That is, children who spent more time in better quality care rather than in poor quality care did better in terms of their total language development and their pre-academic skills. That's what these 2 bars show, and that's what those 2 sets of asterisks show. Those are statistically significant, small but real effects. Amount of time in care, and this is basically what you're going to see here, you're going to see repeatedly. Amount of time in care has no effect on children's cognitive and language development. And type of care has a beneficial effect on children's cognitive and language development. In this case, the children who were in groups, centers, for more measurement occasions, that is, starting earlier in life and continuing longer, seem to test better on the measure of memory for sentences. Let's turn our attention now to the social domain, because here the story changes a little bit. Quality of care has no effects on any of our social outcomes, externalizing problems, conflict, positive interactions with a friend, or negative interactions with a friend. Instead, quantity of care has the effect. So we see that the more time a kid spent in care across his first 54 months of life, net of all those family factors and the other child care factors, the more externalizing problems he showed, the more conflict with the teacher he showed, and the more negative interaction with a friend he showed. Now, these results are striking in the sense that this is exactly what all my critics in 1986 said wouldn't happen. Because their argument was that if you're getting these effects of amount of care, they're an artifact of these kids in poor quality care. But these findings here are having already taken into consideration quality and type of care. So these are effects purely attributable to amount of time and care. That is to say, that even if you were in really good child care, where the caregivers were attentive, responsive, and stimulating, and affectionate, kids who had more time and care in that type of care were still showing these effects. And here we see more time in center care, in this case, predicted more positive interactions with a friend. Now, let me go back here. These findings proved so disconcerting to my colleagues and my collaborators that they said, wait, we're not sure they're real, you know, because this has problems. The first problem was that all this shows is that on average, kids who spend more time in care have more externalizing problems, problems with aggression and disobedience. And we're not talking about clinical problems here yet. And so they said, well, what about high levels of problems? So we took a score that was thought of as the at-risk zone. It wasn't clinical, but it was high levels. Think of it this way. I can weigh you. I can take the average weight of everybody here, and I might find that men wearing white shirts weigh more on average than when men not wearing white shirts. Okay? Let's say we did that. But I could also re-evaluate those data, and I could say, what about being overweight? Do men wearing white shirts just average more weight, or do they, or is a greater percentage of them actually overweight? Or I can ask, are a greater percentage of them actually overweight to the extent that they're obese? In other words, we can look at an average, which is what the previous was. We can look at the overweight, or we can look at severely overweight. Well, in our data, we can't look at the equivalent of severely overweight clinical problems because not enough kids have clinical problems. Knock on wood, thank goodness. So we were looking at the functional equivalent of overweight. Because people were thinking that, oh, it's just a little bit more aggressive and disobedient. Here's what we found. That as kids went up in the amount of time they spent in care, on average, they averaged 9 hours or less over their first 4.5 years of life. They averaged 10 to 29 hours. They averaged 30 to 45 hours. They had greater than 45 hours. That it was what we call in the business a dose-response relationship. As amount of time in child care went up, the proportion of children in the at-risk zone of externalizing problems, that is in the overweight zone, not the obese zone, in the overweight zone, went up. Well, you'd think that would have convinced them. Oh, no, no. Now this is going to be a story where every time you find something you don't like, the bar gets raised a little higher, and the data are required to jump over it. So here the data just jumped over a higher bar. They're not just on average more aggressive and disobedient. They're at a level that might cause you some concern. Well, then the issue became, maybe it's just assertiveness. So now the bar gets raised higher, and let's see if the data will jump over it. And we took a subscale within this measurement of externalizing problems called aggression. Well, if you look at the items in the aggression subscale, they're not all clearly about aggression. And so the question became, did the kids with more time in childcare, were they just more assertive? And remember, that was one of the earlier criticisms. And in fact, they are more assertive, if you call this assertiveness, that they're more likely to brag and boast, demands attention, argue a lot, easily jealous, showing off clowning, talks too much, teases a lot, demands must be met immediately. Well, we pulled these items out and said, we'll call these assertiveness because they're not specifically aggression. But somebody looked at them and my colleague said, "Jay, that's not assertiveness, that's emotional neediness." We then looked about then disobedience and aggression. And here we again get the effects. Disobedience and defiance has to do with talking out of turn, being disobedient in school. Defiant talks back to staff, disturbing other pupils, disrupting class and discipline. Here, too, the kids who spent more time in care were manifesting this. And finally, let the rubber hit the road, aggression. Getting into many fights, cruelty, bullying, meanness, physically attacks others, explosive behavior, destroys own things. Here, too, we find the effects. In other words, these kids were somewhat more aggressive and disobedient, not just assertive, who spent more time in child care, and that was irrespective of the quality of care they experienced. So the summary here is that child care measured during the first 4.5 years of life was associated with both developmental benefits and developmental risks by the time children were 4.5 years of age. Children who experienced higher quality child care displayed better pre-academic and language skills. That's what I like to describe as the good news. Children who had larger amounts of any type of care displayed more behavior problems and conflict with caregivers, and also negative interactions with peers. That's what I tend to describe as the bad news. There's both good news here and bad news. Some of my colleagues only report some of the news. Some journalists only report some of the news. I suspect that some members of this audience will leave and only share some of the news. Well, there's all the news that's fit to print here. And children who had more experience in centers displayed better memory for sentences, more positive interactions with a friend, but also more behavior problems. In fact, centers are going to come up as enigmatic because we'll see both benefits and costs seem to be associated with them. I'm going to jump right ahead. Okay. We did the same thing now. That was when kids started school. We're going to let these kids age, okay? In the blink of an eye, they're now 8 years of age. They're in third grade. We've got the same research design. How have their experiences early in life, in the first 4.5 years in childcare, affected them? We get two differences in what we do here, though. We're still controlling for all those family experiences and factors in the first 4.5 years of life, but we're also controlling for the same family factors and experiences between kindergarten and third grade. And we're also controlling for experiences that they have in school in kindergarten to third grade. So we're basically looking at the effects of childcare, not only have to take in consideration early family experiences and later family experiences, but later schooling experiences, because we want to err on the side of caution here. We want to say, is childcare experiencing exerting what seems to be a developmental legacy over and above both early experiences and contemporaneous child and schooling experiences? Once again, the Newton story is good news for quality. More time spent, greater exposure to good quality care in the first 4.5 years of life in comparison to lower quality care. Children are doing better in applied, that should be math problems, not morph problems. They're better at naming pictures, showing what we call picture vocabulary, and they still are doing better in memory for sentences. Once again, amount of time in child care bears no relationship to cognitive academic functioning. That's just what we saw at 4.5 years of life. And here we see more time in centers. There's an area here. There should be a relationship there. There's a positive relationship. Centers are having some beneficial effect on memory for sentences. Let's go to social development. Once again, quality of care doesn't make any difference. Once again, quantity of care makes a difference, but there's been a change. It used to be at 4.5 years of life, and this can be important for something I tell you, that's why I'm calling attention to it, that more time in child care predicted more overall externalizing problems. Well, the bar is positive, it's not significant. So that effect has disappeared. Now that's going to become very interesting as we go on. What is this disappearing effect of any type of being lots of time in any type of care? We still, however, find, well, now we have a new measurement here, that more time in child care predicts lower levels of social skills, children being less empathic and cooperative. And also, more time in child care across the first 4.5 years of life is predicting kids who have poor academic work habits. They seem less devoted to their schoolwork. They concentrate less well. They attend and seem interested less. So we see seemingly adverse effects here. And we also find now that more time in centers is predicting more externalizing problems. That is, the more children were in centers, not just any kind of care, but center care in particular, the more problems they're showing according to teachers in third grade. So again, we get a good news, bad news, even mixed news story. The good news is the quality of care is beneficial enduringly, apparently, to cognitive and language development. The bad news is that lots of time in care, in any kind of care, irrespective of its quality, carries some adverse effects for social skills and academic work habits, although the effect on teachers' overall aggression and disobedience scores is no longer there, but we'll come back to that. And there's both good news and bad news for being in centers. More time in centers is more problems overall of aggression and disobedience, but it also is better memory for sentences.
In the quality issue, there is no indication that this is significant,
that this is for social development. There's no effect there. Yes, I mean, that's a constant story, which is the good news is quality and cognitive and language development. The bad news is social behavior and amount of time in care. Okay, now we've got the kids, and this is the data. I haven't presented these before. These are kids in fifth and sixth grade. This data was accepted for publication within the last month. It'll be published supposedly in April of next year. The question is, do these effects endure? What we're going to see is that when it comes to the good news effect of quality and academic achievement, only one effect endures, and that's on vocabulary. Because what we have here is the effect, the measurement of quality of academic achievement, preschool, first grade, third grade, and fifth grade. Preschool, first grade, third grade, and fifth grade. That's an overall effect. It doesn't change over time. So there's an enduring beneficial effect of quality of care that lasts through fifth grade. Now, interestingly, an effect we had picked up early on reading in preschool dissipates to insignificance. Effects that might have looked like they were there earlier were never there. You know, none of these were significant. So here I have this in italics and a star to remind me to tell you that an early effect failed to endure and dissipated. In contrast to a star and no italics, which tells me to tell you that an effect endures but does not dissipate. So we still see, if you would, a beneficial effect. And these kids have been out of child care, as we measured it, since about 5 years of age. Now they're close to 12 years of age. So that's 7 years ago. When we look at quality and social emotion, quantity of care and social emotional development, what we find here is that overall, this is quantity of care in any type of care, is that there's no enduring effect. We have two significantly dissipating effects. We had that early effect of any type of care on quantity at preschool age, but I told you, and it was there actually in first grade, which I didn't get into. That should be grade, not scale. This, by third grade, it was insignificant, and it remains insignificant. This is not different from zero. So that bad news effect has disappeared. On social skills, the bad news effect was there at one age, it's disappeared, and on conflict, it's disappeared. So there's no enduring effect of amount of time in any type of care. And I'm going to come back to that. When it comes to being in group care, we see an overall unchanged effect. While this effect looks like it might be enduring, very sensitive statistical test says that it's not dissipating, that this is, you can regard this as just a flat line statistically. That is, the more you were exposed to centers growing up, which meant that you were in centers at earlier ages. You started center care at earlier ages and you stayed in them, because that's how you got many epics in centers. The more aggression and disobedience you're displaying when you're 12 years of age. And that's it.